Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 270.
This week on the podcast, Puerto Rico is now both without power and literally a foreign nation.
And the GOP tax reform is as narcissistic and self-absorbed as Donald Trump himself.
Plus, set your watches. The Trump-Russia countdown to zero begins now.
And sexual assault allegations, dumb idiot men who can't keep it in their pants, continue to ruin the things we once loved.
Plus, North Korea, yeah.
And take some vacation time into the alternate reality of FoxNews.com.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right.
Now, we traditionally begin our podcast with a report on the Puerto Rico power situation.
Yep.
And we have some interesting updates about that this week because, so currently only 66% of the island has power. That means that 34% of the island has no power. A company.
Yeah, this was going to be their great Christmas present.
That's right. A new company was just given a huge contract to restore the power because we told you what happened with the last company, the two-person operation.
Yeah, Whitefish.
Whitefish from Montana. The new contract completion date is February 28th. So according to the Pentagon, Puerto Rico's not getting power fully until February.
It's going to be their Valentine's Day present.
That's right. Yes, we're just going to keep pushing holidays back. And soon it will be their Easter present, then Memorial Day, 4th of July. There's holidays all year.
Yeah.
We could do this all year. Meanwhile,
right.
though, I think the bigger news here is that this is an especially bad week for Puerto Rico because we're going to talk in a second about the tax reform bill that just passed in the Senate. But the tax bills that the House and Senate passed both screw Puerto Rico over like big time because they put a 20% excise tax on any goods and services that flow between American businesses that are based in the U.S. and any operations they have in Puerto Rico as if it's a foreign country. So,
guys,
this is our reminder that it's not. Puerto Rico is U.S. territory. There should not be excise taxes placed on transport of goods to and from Puerto Rico. That's crazy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
That's nuts.
So as if the economic situation wasn't bad enough in Puerto Rico, it's about to get much, much worse. This is something before we go into a discussion of the tax reform bill, I have two things to say. One is, you still have time to call your reps about this because the bill isn't law yet. The bill passed in the Senate and a different version passed in the House, and they still have to go to conference and they still have to vote on the finalized bill, which means they have to cast yet another vote on this bill. So you still have time to call your reps. This is not the law. But second of all, any part of this bill could be undone by Congress at any time. So even if this bill passes both houses in its finalized version and is signed by the president, you keep the pressure on. Especially for like some of these bullshit things, like that they're going to put an excise tax on Puerto Rico. Like, these are things
that
we can be calling our representatives about every hour if we feel like it, because they can fix that at any time.
Apparently, you can definitely fix it at any time because really all you have to do is scribble in the margins.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. Brent texted me as this was all going on with how delighted he was by all of this scribble news.
I know. Well, I saw it on Twitter because John Tester posted a video of it. And I was like, what alternate reality am I in right now where like John Tester's Twitter is interesting?
So true.
That's what was happening.
My mother said the same thing.
Tax bill was like...
It was like everyone
was really worked up about it, as he should have been. But like, I was not prepared for his rage.
Everyone somehow concurrently noticed John Tester at once, but no one has ever thought about John Tester before. So it was like a really weird time for all of us. But that after he started raging about that, a lot of other senators started posting about it as well, because there were scribbles all over the bill. And not only, they weren't even consistent scribbles, because there were pages that were X'd out and then other pages that just had a line through them, and nobody knew what any of these markings meant. So not only did they only give them an hour to read the final bill, but no one had clarified. There was no key to the handwritten markups everywhere.
You need it. And he hilariously sort of like pointed out, and where he was like, what's that word? You can't know. You need a Rosetta Stone to get through half of that tax bill, it appears.
I have a theory that it was designed to make millennials not able to read it because it was all written in cursive. I'm like, we're not using that.
No. And thank God, by the way.
Thank God. We have computers now, so we're all set.
Thank you.
They literally passed this bill at 2 a.m. because they were scared people would watch them do it. And they literally did it on the same day that we just found out that the Trump administration is probably going down. So it was an interesting time to finally be in a league with him.
Yeah, that worked out great. That worked out great for them because I got home and you were messaging me and I had plans that night anyway. But you were like, tell me everything because it's going to happen while I'm sleeping because Lila's on the East Coast. And I was like, well, I don't know that I'm really going to be able to watch this as much as you would like me to. But I'm like, so I turned on CNN thinking that it was going to be sort of like similar to that night that they were voting on the Obamacare, when, you know, John McCain saved us all and it was sort of like big, some dramatic voting moment. No, they were had like every single expert about Russia and the law that they could find having a giant round table while all of this tax business was going on. And I was like, OK, I see what CNN's game is here. Mm-hmm. They don't have any
same thing on MSNBC.
So that worked out great for Republicans.
Oh, yeah. Every news network was distracted because we basically have Watergate on our hands now. And so nobody had time to talk about how the Senate was busy passing a bill that is almost as comical as it is evil. Because it's like just terrible. I literally also, I don't know what everyone's game was because I heard Angus King talk about this. And he said, Angus King is an independent senator from Maine. He reported that he was getting tons, you know, his phone was getting flooded with calls from constituents about this, and that for every one call he got from someone who supported the bill, he would get like 50 for people who were livid, which means that Susan Collins had to be getting the same thing. She's also a senator from Maine. And Susan Collins was one of the people who they swung some sort of deal with so that she would get something in the final bill. She extracted some promise from them that I'm sure they won't follow through on I can't remember. It was something about not cutting Medicaid, but they already plan to. So I don't see how that could be a thing.
Yeah, it was to continue the federal government's like payments of what they pay out to health insurance companies, basically to sort of like cover costs that like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But in any case, so that means that Susan Collins was sitting there. If you can hear honking, it's because I'm in New York. Was sitting there hearing 50-to-1 ratio of calls from livid constituents who were screaming at her to not destroy all of our lives. And she still sat down and voted for this bill at 2 a.m. because that's what her intention was to do, I guess, all along. It's like wild how much outrage there was about this, coupled with how many Republicans just like went along with it. Because all of our heroes disappeared in this moment.
And you and I were... you and I were talking a lot that day, and this took me to a really dark place.
Oh, my God.
Not because of how bad the bill was, but, like, mostly because of how bad the bill was. But, like...
You guys, Brent went to a really dark place.
Yes, like, you guys, like, absolutely, like, you should... We implore you to call your representatives because, as Lila said, this is not law. This still has to go to conference. And we told you all of these things last week on the podcast. There's a lot of big differences between these two bills that they're going to have to figure out. And we've seen how well they all work together before. So there's still a chance that it might not. But I have some real fear that I think that this might be the thing that they actually get figured out. Because while they, you know, while some of them may have a conscience about whether all of their constituents should die or not due to not having health care. And I realize the Senate bill, you know, sort of yanks Obamacare out from underneath everyone sort of in a
roundabout way.
I almost said secret way. It's not so secret necessarily. But the one thing that all Republicans know, and the thing that makes them Republicans, whether you think that they might be less evil than the other or not, is taxes. Like, you know, we've all been sort of really applauding Susan Collins and Jeff Flake and John McCain and some of these guys. But like the tax thing is like, that's the thing. I mean, like, g- giving less taxes to corporations. Like, they'll get this one figured out. And that's what sort of, like, that's what took me to my dark place, was, like, just general sort of, like, well, fuck, they're going to really, this is going to happen. We're all screwed.
I agree with you on that, in that you referred to this as their ACA. This really is, like, their magnum opus. Like, they, cutting the corporate tax rate to 20%, which is the one thing that is consistent in every one of these bills, because it was the Donald Trump line in the sand. Why we need to listen to that guy, I'll never know. But that right. is... That is sort of like their ultimate intention in life, for sure. I think that their other ultimate intention in life is to get reelected and to make lots of money, you know, getting,
yes.
you know, getting fame and fortune from having been elected and being well-connected in the first place. So
right.
they have two goals, one to lower corporate tax rates and one to be reelected. And while this does accomplish right. the former, it does not accomplish the latter, because this tax bill is really far-reaching. It reaches into a lot of areas of the economy that are not tax-based. It has a slew of really embarrassing amendments on it that are just a bad shade on all of them. Like, for example, both versions remove the deduction for state and local taxes. The Senate version, yep. though, removes a deduction for the Senate version includes a deduction for private school tuition. So that private means your schools, local yep. your local school taxes will no longer be deductible. But if you choose to forego your available free public education that taxpayers provide every single student in America, taxpayers will now have to subsidize that choice. Those kinds of things are good. Like, this bill reads as 500 pages of Oppo research. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
It's, oh, it does. Yeah, it has so many things. There are a slew of yeah. rich person-focused deductions suddenly included in this law. You know, you get a deduction for your private jet maintenance and stuff like that. But it removes a lot yep. of regular person deductions, like interest payments on school loans or moving expenses or theft and loss of valuables, electric yep. vehicles, things that like regular people take advantage of. But so there are yep. just there are just so many things that are a bad shade on everyone in this that I can't believe yep. that anyone in a vulnerable state where the residents seem fairly willing to try to get rid of you, you know, a state like Maine's kind of wacky because, you know, they have a yep. Democrat, they have two congressmen and two senators. They have an independent senator who caucuses with the Democrats and a Republican senator. They have a Democratic congresswoman and a Republican congressman. They are all over the book. They could easily get rid of Susan Collins. That seat doesn't need to belong to a yep. Republican. So, I mean, there are just so many things that are a bad look on someone like Susan Collins in a state like Maine that or a bad look. You know, I know Jeff Flake is a lame duck senator at this point. Why does he even need to go along with anything anymore? He already declared he's not running. Yeah. You know, like these are.
Right. He could have gone with his buddy Bob Corker.
Yeah.
Who was the only Republican to not vote for this.
And why isn't John McCain worried about regular order anymore all of a sudden?
I know, right? There's no way that John McCain is in favor of handwriting in the margins of bills.
Yeah, especially because also if John McCain was going to be the decisive vote in getting in repealing Obamacare, then there should not be a difference between that and this. You know, the Senate version of this bill repeals the Obamacare mandate, which effectively repeals Obamacare because the mandate is what keeps yep. Obamacare affordable. It keeps it from spiraling out of control price wise. It's what makes it. You know, something that it's what makes it something that everyone buys into. So for right. us to repeal the mandate is for us to repeal Obamacare. That's why 13 million people will lose their insurance. Is there a difference to him between 13 million and 20 million people losing their insurance that's so significant that he's in favor of one and not the other?
Right. Yep. And the other thing that I want to implore all of you to do is to remember this bill and what it does years from now, because
yes.
the other thing that sort of like took me to the dark place is that I fear that they may have written this bill smartly enough, even though it's terrible, in that basically everyone's taxes are going to go down for a couple years. And we did tell you last week about how, you know, it's only the corporate taxes that are going down permanently. And, you know, in a few years, you know, middle class people are going to see their taxes start to go up. But like, I just want we need to remember that this is what, you know, when the Republicans come back in a little bit and they're like, oh, we've got this massive deficit, we need to deal with entitlements. And when we have, you know, when people are Obamacare payments, your premiums start to skyrocket because healthy people aren't being forced to buy premium or to buy into the system any longer. We need to remember that it was this tax bill, because my fear is that Joe Blow, middle America, for the next 2 years is going to have their taxes go down and they're going to be like, hey, that was great. And then we're not going to be able to sort of ever retrace back to this moment. Like, just because people aren't good at that. People pay minimal, generally people pay minimum amounts of attention. And also the Democrats are not known for their solid messaging on things like this.
That's true.
So I just feel like we have to be like vigilant, even if this thing ends up passing, which I fear it will. We have to keep it in the forefront of people's minds. We have to remind people when the Republicans want to come back and cut something because we have, you know, a deficit problem or things like that. We have to remind them that it was them that created this mess. We have to remind the American people that it was the Republicans that created this mess. We have to remember. Never forget.
I think that there is going to be a kind of proletariat rage that they are not expecting in response to this, though, because this really does hand only big cuts to the very wealthy. It's written in a way that's so stark and obvious that a couple extra $100 in your taxes is not going to erase the knowledge that we lost, you know, that when this money comes up, that, because a few things. One, it doesn't take people who are Republicans switching to Democratic votes to get Democrats elected. It takes Democrats showing up to the polls. So we're not counting on Trump voters learning the error of their ways. 25% of the country never will. We're counting on Democratic voters being so enraged by all of this that they actually show up at the polls. And they're the ones reading the news that is the actual news. We're going to talk in a little bit about what's going on Fox News' homepage right now. It's comical. But they're the ones who we can reach with that information, who I think will have a harder time forgetting about all of this, because this will be in discussion. This will be part of the discussion in Democratic circles for the rest of the year. But also, this is going to add up to the high estimates are $1.5 trillion, the low estimates are $1 trillion to the deficit. So we suddenly no longer have to believe that Republicans are deficit hawks. So there's suddenly going to be like a whole kind of talking point of theirs that they no longer can use. And while we are bad at messaging, I think that a lot of the Democratic candidates in 2018 are not going to come through the traditional party machinery. I think they're going to come from local communities that have organized themselves and are really fucking angry. And so I think that maybe the Democratic crappy messaging problem won't be as far reaching as we think it will be. I also think 2018 will probably be disappointing, and that 2020 is when we'll really see the impact of all of this, because by then people's taxes will start to creep up. By then we'll see that the economy is starting to tank. By then these Trump voters will still not have jobs. And so they will still be wondering what, you know, what's going on. By then the Republicans will have been in charge for years. And so if things haven't truly improved for people, they're going to start to wonder whether this, you know, whether anything ever will. Like, it's going to take some time for all of this to mount up. But I know that a portion of the country still believes that giving money to corporations is a great way to create jobs and blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's a majority of the country. I think that a lot of the people who know it's not true just don't vote. Like, there's, you know, and I think they
could. I agree.
Could.
And the thing that, and I totally agree with you about everything in the next two sort of like big elections that we have coming up. And, you know, you and I were talking about this earlier in the week. I mean, there are, this is going to create, we already have, you know, income inequality that we've never seen in this country, which is unsustainable. But I fear that we are not far away from, you know, one of the other things in this tax bill, by the way, is it allows corporations to write off at 100%. Things that they used to previously be only write off at 50% that are the types of equipment that they can purchase that allows them to move to automation quicker.
Exactly.
This
going to speed up our job loss.
The exact opposite of what we should be doing. It's going to speed up job loss. It has no protection for workers at all. We are not far away. Like, and here's my darkness again. But like, they are truly like creating a worthless class of people. And I don't mean worthless in the sense of like, oh, you're just like you're terrible or worthless. But I mean worthless in the sense that like, we're creating people who are actually not going to be able to contribute to
right.
this economy.
Who are redundant.
Like, who only know a trade, and that trade will go away in part because of this bill making it easier for that trade to go away from a human doing it, and we have no protection for them. We're literally actively creating people who can no longer contribute. And like, it's insane. It's so crazy.
That has happened to societies before, and the results have never been what you want.
This is the story of human history. What any of us are looking for.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I don't think that in this moment in history, this is not George Bush, a name that was the second of the Bushes as a president and was, you know, whatever, like, that was doing a big tax cut as part of their neocon crazy agenda. This is an unprecedented moment. I don't think it's going to be as easy for them to slip this by people and make them forget unless they do something equally abhorrent, which they probably will try to do. But we have another thing on the horizon that will make it difficult. The reason they're rushing this through right now is because it's really the only thing they need Donald Trump for. This is their magnum opus, right. As Brent said. They need Donald Trump to sign it. They need to, you know, enshrine a lower corporate tax rate that, you know, causes the rest of us to subsidize corporate America while they steal our jobs. And they need a functional Republican president to do that. They are aware that Donald Trump is on his way down. They are aware because on the same day that they passed this bill, we found out that Michael Flynn has turned. So Michael Flynn, it was revealed on Friday, is pleading guilty to one count of lying to the FBI. We read his list of charges back when he was indicted. He was being charged with a lot. The fact that he only is pleading guilty to this one count means that he's given the investigation some big fish in exchange for this plea deal. Right. So a lot of people
you don't get a plea deal for information that is going to take down, you know, some random guy aide who worked for the campaign for
exactly.
a couple months.
Like, that's
not what Michael Flynn has.
Based on precedent, it's likely he either gave up two cabinet members with proof that they also had been part of this collusion plot with Russia, or Trump or Pence themselves. The reason they're rushing this tax bill is in part because they need to get this done before Trump, so that they can walk away from Trump. Because at a certain point, they're going to have to look like they aren't friends with him. And they're not going to be able to cooperate with him on tax reform effectively when he's the Nixon of, you know, the modern era. Trump also accidentally admitted to obstructing justice on Twitter the other day. He's claiming now that his lawyer wrote it, but it's got a few legal terms misspelled. So because usually the legal term is pleaded guilty. And I think the tweet says pled guilty or something like that. There were things that only a lawyer would never mess up. Also, a lawyer probably wouldn't admit that you had lied to a federal, regarding a federal investigation on Twitter. That's just my personal take. But he's trying to blame it on his lawyer. And it's like, no, dude, you wrote the tweet. Also, though, breaking yesterday, there are other people now that they have email proof were aware of Flynn's contacts with Russia. There was an email exchange with KT McFarland, who's a Trump advisor, one of his stupider advisors. Like, she's like one of the more troublesome advisors who is like, you know, gives into his worst behavior. She on December 29th wrote an email to somebody that this was right after Obama had announced their new sanctions with Russia for meddling in the election. She wrote an email to somebody where she said that the sanctions would make it harder for Trump to ease tensions with Russia. And then she wrote, quote, which has just thrown the USA election to him. So.
Oh, boy, yikes.
These people are fools, man. And that's the one thing that gives me hope here is that I feel like in Watergate, Nixon was a professional politician who was just like a loon bag. So he knew what he was doing, and even he didn't get away with it. I feel like literally no one in this White House knows what they're doing. I don't think any of them are ahead of the story. I think they found out, you know, Trump sort of knew something was up, but the White House found out about this Michael Flynn turning on them thing, like basically when we did. And it's probably because they're just reading Fox Right. News and the news isn't getting reported to them. But it's like kind of nuts how behind the eight ball they all are on all of this stuff. And it's like, sometimes when people do something really out there, you kind of let it slide because you're just not even sure how to deal with what just happened. And I feel like we've been doing that a lot with them, where we've just been like, oh, this is so appalling that I don't even have a way of, you know, rationalizing what just happened.
I think
in this case, we're going to slowly lose our shock, and then, you know, it's going to just turn out these people were actual fools the whole time, and it was really easy to get them once we figured it out. Like,
oh, I think that's dead on. I think you've probably never been more right about anything.
Well, I love when you say
And you're right all the time.
That's right. Love when you say that. No, this Flynn thing is big news because this is the beginning of the end in an investigation like this. You don't release that kind of information, about, like something like Flynn's plea deal, unless you have your ducks in a row.
And that's the right, exactly. And that is, it is. And this is also another reason that it's the beginning of the end is because things can now fall quickly. Because if, basically, once you sort of do like a quick cross-check to see if what Mike Flynn told you was right, which they probably already have done, or else they wouldn't have given the plea deal, it's sort of like, then these other people sort of like start to come down. And the thing about all of these people is that none of them really super want to go to jail.
Right.
So the reason that Michael Flynn took a plea deal is because he wanted to take a plea deal because it was either that or, you know, be charged with a billion counts of doing a bunch of terrible things.
There's no loyalty in the Trump universe.
They're all going to have the same counts of. Say that again. Sorry.
There's no loyalty in the Trump universe. They're all sharks.
Well, that right. Even though they apparently took a loyalty oath.
Once you're having to require loyalty oaths, I bet the Obama administration never thought to themselves, it would be easier if everyone had taken a loyalty oath. They were probably like, these people seem to want what we want, so that's good enough.
Right, I was going to say, they were just sort of like in it together, so it made sense.
Yeah. Like, in Trump-verse, you have to take a loyalty oath because it's too easy to turn on everyone because everyone's such an asshole.
Right.
That's.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel like the. I remember because I was asking my parents about Watergate because, you know, I only know the story as you would learn it in history books. But I'm always curious about it because I want to know whether it felt fast or slow as it was happening. And they were always like, it felt slow until the Saturday night massacre. And then it felt really fast. And so we're all waiting this week to see if Trump's going to try to fire Mueller. If he does, that's his Saturday night massacre. And then I think things will have to happen really fast, assuming that this tax bill has either died or passed, because nothing's going to happen fast until that happens. But I feel like once if Trump does something in rage that, you know, which I think at some point he will, that where he truly does try to obstruct justice, then it will happen really fast. If he does nothing, it will happen faster than it's happening now, but it'll feel slower because we won't have any salacious drama until the next aide to turn breaks. I'm guessing the next aide to turn is Kushner.
That's what everybody seems to be thinking.
Yeah, Kushner, he doesn't need Trump as much as the other people because he's rich in his own right. His father is already in jail, or already went to jail. He's not in jail, I don't think, right now. So he comes from a family experienced with the law. I feel like also he's kind of like the most expendable because he's going to have fucked up more than any of the professionals in there because he has no idea what he's doing. So he's going to be easy to catch in a lie.
Totally.
It's going to be exciting, you guys. But also we're going to all learn a lot about Watergate. And We're also going to learn a lot about the legal system. So it'll be an exciting education for everyone. We'll all be lawyers at the end of this. Yeah.
Learning is fun.
Meanwhile, everyone's losing their jobs over sexual harassment. So we have a new count. Here's who lost their jobs this
week. We don't have a count.
It's an infinity. The number is infinity.
We have some names to add to a list that we couldn't possibly read in its entirety to you on this podcast.
Exactly. The biggest fish of the week was Matt Lauer. Apparently had a button under his desk with which to lock his door. That, in and of itself, even if he had never touched a woman or looked at a woman, should have been an indicator that he was up to something.
Right, and to be clear, to lock the door from the inside.
Yes.
Not just like a button to lock the door to keep people from, to leaving him alone while he was doing important journalistic work. That's not what the button
to
was
lock
for.
The door so that people couldn't get out of his office.
That's it. That's what the button was.
What the button was for. He also apparently gave a sex toy to a coworker at one point and said he would like to use it on her. He like everyone, has exposed himself to a woman who did not ask to see his penis, which seems to be a thing that men all over the media and Washington and the world think should happen. Like, for some reason, men everywhere just, think women who show no outward interest in this idea should want to see their penis.
Right.
And should be forced to. The other big fish of the week, which was the more confusing story, was the Garrison Keillor story, where we still don't know from the Minnesota Public Radio and what they claim he did. The accusation, according to him, sounds kind of lame. Obviously, it would. But I'm actually kind of curious about this because they took away his entire library of stuff. Like, they took away his whole archive off of their servers, which means that basically all of A Prairie Home Companion is gone now. And listen, you can either like or not like Garrison Keillor, and if he's assaulting women, obviously you can fire him. I'm great. I'm good with that. I feel like removing his entire library of work maybe gives credence to the claim that this is a witch hunt, which I don't think is fair to the women who are actually making the claims. I think my conspiracy theory here is that men who overreact do it in part to make us suffer with them. So that instead of being like, okay, we've heard your claim, we've removed the problem, and we respect that, women should feel safe and comfortable in their work environments. It's another thing to be like, and we're going to take away this thing that maybe you enjoyed in the process because you shouldn't get to listen to it if you want to complain about the creator. Do have a problem with to some extent, just because I think it should be up to people to decide whether or not they're comfortable patronizing. Every artist in the world is ultimately a troublesome person in some respect. Picasso was also an asshole. There's plenty of examples of this throughout history. I think the idea of penalizing all of us for something that was done to us, and in this context, I mean us as a society, that the safety of women should be us as a society. We should all consider that our safety. That should be a distinction that we make, I think. Now, because you can still find fault with A Prairie Home Companion if you want. I read an article about how it kind of, implicitly embraces this sort of white Protestant Midwestern agenda that is ultimately sort of seeped in white supremacy, sort of soft white supremacy. You are certainly welcome to analyze it from that perspective. I think that's totally fair. That's not, though, connected to what happened here. You're allowed to analyze it from that perspective. That's not the same thing as Garrison Keillor having taken a picture with a woman that he claims he accidentally, we obviously won't know the truth, groped. That's not related, though. It's not like we shouldn't get to decide on the other merits of A Prairie Home Companion because Garrison Keillor did a crappy thing. That's on him.
Sure.
But I think that oftentimes companies do that as a way of punishing women for coming forward. I think that's a way to silence people. I don't think that that's done in good faith. That's my theory. In any case, other people, John Hockenberry, former host of The Takeaway on NPR, man is literally in a wheelchair, but apparently has been up to shenanigans. And then a Democratic representative from Nevada, he hasn't resigned yet, but Pelosi has called on him to resign, was another accused this week. We didn't do a podcast last week, but last week we also saw the downfall of Russell Simmons, Charlie Rose, and I'm probably missing a few because I don't know what. It's so hard to keep
John
up.
John Conyers.
John Conyers, who then got hospitalized over what they claimed was stress related to the accusations. Oh, and then there was a Republican congressman who used $85,000 of taxpayer money to pay off one of these women. So.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know. And we should obviously remind everyone that our own president is also on the list of accused because.
Yeah, that's right.
We would be. Like, it would be embarrassing not to include him in this list.
Yeah.
Although he hasn't, unfortunately, lost his job.
Something like 16 or 17 women are on record as.
Yeah, I think we're up to 17 now.
That about him.
Yeah. But, you know, you can't trust women.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're talking about. No. They're so sensitive. They'll take anything. No, of course. Yeah. Yeah, if it's John Conyers, then. If it's Garrison Keillor, then yes. But if it's the president, then absolutely not. Actually, did you see that clip of, who was it? I think it was Ted Cruz who was like railing on about Al Franken and then was asked about Roy Moore and tried to like do a very unsmooth endorsement of Roy Moore while complaining about Al Franken.
Yeah.
It was kind of amazing.
I did not see that, but that sounds
spot on. Great. Sounds spot on for Ted Cruz. Yeah. I think it does.
Yeah.
So in any case, this is turning into a really interesting time to be an American. I think to some degree, I did have a moment this week where I was sort of like, am I willing to lose a Prairie Home Companion in the effort to feel safe in my work environment? And I think the answer is ultimately yes. Like, they can try to take everything away from me if they want, but if the choice is having, you know, things that I grew up on to listen to and having safety in my work environment, like, let them try to take the stuff away, whatever. Like,
sure, the choice is clear
and they can try to take away, you know, that trade-off isn't, you know, it's like this when this happened with Cosby. I think we faced the same choice because everyone stopped airing the Cosby Show, and it was like the Cosby Show was something we all grew up on. It brought us a great, you know, it was a great source of comfort for a lot of us because it was this like familiar relic of our childhood that we all had in common that everyone, you know, could participate in. Is it better to live in a world where rape is not tolerated than it is to have the Cosby Show? Yes. Like, do I wish that maybe we could have both? Of course. But like, ultimately, if media companies want to tell me that I can't enjoy things because the person that created them is an asshat, then I would rather not have the thing. So that's what we've had to settle with this week. We might all die anyway because North Korea can now apparently reach the U.S. with a ballistic missile. The entire U.S. That means New York's at risk, too. I didn't choose to pull any facts about this because of not wanting to know any facts about it, because I've decided not to find out more. I think that's how we should all. I think that's how we should all deal with this. But just know that whatever minor, you know, middling concerns you might have, they might all pale in comparison to the fact that you might die in a ballistic missile attack that North Korea launches. But also, you might not, because North Korea, for all their rhetoric, is still a little afraid of us. Although, if you believe Fox News, Trump is going to take care of it. So don't worry.
Well, he's going to take care of it.
So earlier today, my dad was like, hey, Lila, have you ever checked out the Fox News homepage? And he was not asking because he reads the Fox News homepage, obviously. He's been on this podcast. You guys know him. But he was asking because, much like Brent will often check the Drudge Report, he periodically just like takes a gander at the Fox News homepage to see what the right's talking about. Today on the Fox News homepage, it was a complete alternate reality. The lead story is about H.R. McMaster says that Trump is going to handle all of the North Korea stuff. There is no mention of Roy Moore.
North Korea is the lead story, obviously. Mm-hmm.
There's no mention of Mike Flynn, except to say that people should sue Brian Ross at ABC for lying about Mike Flynn. There's no information about tax reform, no details about it. They, you know, there's information that it was a great victory, but there's no information about the actual details of the bill. Here are some stories that are on the front page, though. And this first one is also on the front page. It's also one of the lead stories on Drudge. It's Mueller dismisses top FBI agent in Russia probe over possible anti-Trump texts. Now, maybe that's a salacious headline. It's unfortunate that it's not breaking news despite its prime location on the Fox News homepage, because it happened like 6 months ago. And then they have a second headline that refers to the same story. That's Mueller aide fired for anti-Trump tweets now facing review for role in Clinton email probe. So they managed to sneak Clinton into the front page before mentioning any details of the tax reform bill, anything about Mike Flynn, or anything about Roy Moore.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, instead of like the, if they want to frame this as breaking news, like they need to just have like a whole section, which they basically have because they have two stories. They should just make this a tab or something, like,
yeah,
you know, why you should hate Bob Mueller. Why?
Exactly.
Why Bob, fire Bob Mueller. That's what it should be called.
Yeah.
These are the fire Bob Mueller stories.
The tab.
So it
doesn't
matter
whether
they're
US
breaking.
World opinion, just fire Bob Mueller, politics, right. Entertainment, you know.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Because it doesn't matter what's going on in the world.
They're breaking or not. It just, they're important for you to know right now, in the sense that it's important that we be firing Bob Mueller.
Exactly.
Like, that's how they're important.
The second, like if you scroll down to the second part of the top of the front page, that's my favorite part. Three of the four boxes are about sports. One of the headlines is Pontiac Silverdome demolition fails after, quote, what was supposed to happen did not. That's a headline. And then the one other box is just a section on Chicago crime. So it's three boxes of sports news,
gosh.
And then one box that's just Chicago crime. It obviously probably always has a picture of just like one mugshot of a black person, because, you know, why wouldn't it? The top story is Chicago man stabbed 25 times by brother-in-law, officials says. This is the national Fox News website. The second one is video contradicts Chicago officers' accounts of shooting. And the third one, because it must have been a slow news week in Chicago, Chicago woman dies days after found with head stuck in fence. That's...
Oh, boy. I love that it was also seemed very important to them to get in a couple stories about people dying with something other than gunshots.
I know. Like...
Because they love to be like, well, if we outlaw guns, then we can just shove people's heads in fences.
Yeah, exactly. You never know what they're going to do in Chicago. But my favorite...
I mean, they have strict gun laws, but look at all the head and fence deaths they have. Do you want to regulate head and fence deaths, too?
It is, I would contend, illegal to shove someone's head in a fence and then leave them to die. So we've already got that pretty much covered. That's murder. So... My favorite part of the whole thing, though, is then they have the lead stories from every section. And of the two that are like legitimate news sections, because a lot of them are like nonsense news that only Fox News people care about, like entertainment, lifestyle, you know, that sort of stuff. The politics one is Trump suggests investors who lost on false Flynn report by ABC's Ross should sue. And then the U.S. News lead story is a possum in Florida.
This is the biggest U.S. news.
Yes. A possum in Florida gets drunk after breaking into liquor store.
With a picture of a possum and an empty liquor bottle, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, you need pictorial proof, obviously.
Oh, God.
And this is where our president gets his news, you guys. This is why he doesn't know what's going on.
Exactly.
This is how we're staying. We're going to stay one step ahead of him. I trust us to. Because this
you know
is
what?
Where he's getting his news.
Right. You know what? There is something to be like, some days this is the news that I would like to be getting.
Well, I felt like I took a vacation on it's like a little bit of a like relaxed. Like if you don't think about it too hard and realize that like some of the nation is reading this and thinking it's all the news. I felt sort of comforted by the whole thing because I was like,
exactly. Because
it's Trump's going to take care of it.
Knowing what the real news is. Which is
alarming.
Fucking terrible, because we just told it to you, and it's a real disaster, guys.
Yeah.
Like, this is, you know, I can see what Fox News means to these people.
Yeah. If I thought that the most important story in American news today was about a drunk opossum, I would feel so much better than I felt this morning when I woke up with a pit in my stomach, because once again, I remembered that I'm probably going to lose health insurance at some point next year over all this. Like, that worry eats me alive every day. But if all I had to think about was drunk opossums and how Trump's going to take care of stuff, I might be like, everything's good. I don't mind.
Yeah, it's like the news version of watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yes. It's just a magical world where the problems are minor and different than what they really are. And you can...
Escapist news.
You can look at comforting photos of scowling white men looking, you know, harsh. In the, like, have you noticed that all the photos on the front page of the Fox News website are white men who are scowling into the distance?
Yeah,
it's like and 3 out of the 5 are bald. One's Steve Hilton, but and 2 are H.R. McMaster. But it's like it's like in any other circumstance, your worst nightmare. I mean, in this circumstance too. But if you put yourself in Fox News Vacation Land mindset and you're just like, this is the news, then you know. It does. It becomes less distracting than it is.
That's right.
Than it does in regular life.
But we'll leave you with that. Just a quick reminder, that possum story, by the way, before we say goodbye to you. That was in Florida, because obviously it was.
Obviously it was in Florida. That's. I feel like it should have, instead of be, you know, like the Florida man headlines, like Florida man, blah, blah, blah. It should have just been Florida opossum gets drunk after breaking into liquor store. Like, we would have all understood the reference.
Yeah.
This is what opossums in Florida do, obviously.
That's right.
So, 2 things that we're going to remind you before we go. You can still call your reps about the tax reform bill. It is not the law yet. When it becomes the law, you can keep calling them. They can't stop you from calling, and you can tell them whatever's on your mind. We don't have to pretend like just because they pass a tax reform bill that they can never pass another bill that undoes any of it. They can do whatever they decide to do. And that includes fixing things. So, well, let's make them.
Right. And remember, remember, if it passes, remember, file it away.
Yes.
Keep it in there.
Right.
Keep it in the
other
old
thing
noggin.
To do is
don't
remember,
forget when you get your first tax check back from the IRS about how great your life is.
No.
Think about how shitty it's about to become.
Exactly.
You know, that's easy for me.
Right.
But
especially in your new,
always
with Brent's
always
new
remember that. That's what
mentality.
That's what I want to leave you with. Your life is always just about to get shittier. Bye. I'm just kidding.
Unless you vote. The other thing to keep in mind is that, you know, Puerto Rico still has no power. So you're pretty lucky, aren't you?
Yep.
And that's that.
Yes.
We'll talk to you next week.
That's that.
From the same city.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah.
Bye. Bye.